this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter number 2. The Gospel of John, chapter number 2. The Gospel of John, chapter number 2, we'll read down from verses 13 through 17. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy words this morning. I pray this morning that you'd show us something that we need to know and understand, dear God. We pray if there's encouragement this morning that you would encourage us. If we need comfort this morning, that you would comfort us, dear God. If we need to examine ourselves and repent of our sins, Father, we pray that you would admonish and rebuke us this morning. Father, I pray now that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit to preach and teach only those things that you would have me, dear God. We pray for the powers of Satan to be bound this morning. I pray you'd loosen my lips and give me the liberty to preach. Father, I pray if there's a lost one that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but this would be the very day that they would fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to receive the Lord Jesus Christ is to receive life eternal. Father, we ask these things in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. The title of our message this morning is Christ Cleanses the Temple. Christ Cleanses the Temple. We know by studying the scriptures that God has dwelt with man in various places. In the past, for example, under the Old Testament law, we see that the presence of God dwelt with man in the tabernacle. The tabernacle, when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And of course, we see a reference to this if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 25. We know that God Almighty spoke with Moses mouth to mouth, and he gave him the instructions, amen, to build the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25 and verses 8 through 9, the Word of God says, And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I shew thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And of course we know that Moses was obedient to the Lord, and he made the tabernacle, constructed the tabernacle, all the instruments and things related to it, and set up the Levitical priesthood according to the Word of God. Now look at in verse, Exodus chapter 40 with me. We see in Exodus 40, after the tabernacle was completed, verse 33 of Exodus 40 and following, And he reared up the court around about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So we see then at one time, back in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament law, that the presence of God dwelled in the tabernacle. Also later on in the history of Israel, we see that the presence of God dwelt in a temple. And of course, we see reference to that in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Second Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, we read in the Bible. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and a king at the time was David, and the Lord had given him rest around about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And of course he was referring to the tabernacle. And Nathan said to the king, Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass at night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in. And of course, it was David's heart desire to build a temple for God, amen. But of course, we know because of David's grievous sin, the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the killing of her husband Uriah, that he didn't get to do that. But although David did not get to do that, his son Solomon did. Look at in 1 Kings chapter 6. First Kings chapter 6, verse number 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. So we see then that Solomon built a house, and of course it was finished, amen, and was dedicated and so forth and so on. And then an interesting thing happened. As we read and as we go back to John chapter 2, the temple himself, the Lord Jesus Christ came and dwelt among men in the flesh. In fact, when Jesus walked into that temple, it was the temple himself walking in the literal temple, amen, walking into that building, amen. And we read in John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 14. We had read earlier, of course, in John chapter 1, in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then look at in verse 14. It's saying the Word, and the Word, of course, is Jesus Christ. And then it says, the Word was made flesh. In other words, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we see God Almighty in the form of flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and dwelt with man. He was right there. You could touch him, you could feel him, you could see him, amen. Again, we're reminded of this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That word manifest means revealed, amen. So we see in the past, God dwelt among man in a tabernacle, in a temple, And then finally, he came himself in the form of flesh and dwelt with man physically upon this earth. That was in the past. What about the present? Today, we are told in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, that Christ indwells every believer, everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ for the payment of their sins and to secure a home in heaven. Look at it in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And of course, that's a reference to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. Look at in verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So Jesus is promising the disciples that when he left, he would send them the Holy Spirit, amen, that Holy Spirit would dwell in them permanently, amen. Look with me also in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verses 19 and 20, the Word of God says, what, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So presently, right at this moment, God indwells every believer. Every believer's body, according to the Word of God, is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And we know the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. How about the future? How about the future? Where will God dwell among men? Well, we see there in the tribulation that's going to come upon us very soon, but the church, the believers, will be out of here. We're told that the temple will be rebuilt and the sacrifices reinstituted. How do we know that? Over there in the book of Daniel, we know, we're told that, let's turn there to Daniel chapter 9. We'll be looking at Daniel 9. Daniel 9, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And the he there, of course, is referring to the Antichrist. And the 1 week is a 7-year period. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years into the 7-year period, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So we can assume from that, if the Antichrist causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease in the temple, then obviously then the temple must have been rebuilt and the sacrifices reinstituted. How about the millennium? We know that Christ is going to come at the end of the tribulation, bind Satan, amen, cast all those that have been against Israel into the lake of fire and so forth and so on. And then his 1,000-year reign is going to begin during the millennium. What's going to happen then? Well, second coming, we'll have a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, and Christ will be sitting physically and literally in David's throne in Jerusalem. And the millennial temple will be rebuilt, the millennial temple will be built. In the book of Ezekiel, chapters 40 through 48 are devoted to the talking about describing this temple that's going to be built when Christ is on this earth and where he'll reign in the seat of David, David's throne, for 1,000 years. And how about eternity? What about the temple and eternity? Well, we know in the Bible and Revelations that the believer's final home is New Jerusalem. and there'll be no need of a temple. Amen. Because we're told the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Amen. So we've seen then, as a way of introduction, past, present, and future, where God dwells with man, is going to dwell with man, and presently dwells with man. But what we're looking at in particular this morning is the cleansing of the temple. And what we want to do is look at the cleansing of the temple, past, present, and future. In our passage this morning in John chapter 2, Gospel of John, we see the past cleansing, or one of the past cleansings of the temple, by the temple himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus was restoring the temple for its intended purpose, the worshiping of Almighty God and praising Him and giving Him glory, amen. What had happened to the temple, as he said, the temple had become a house of merchandise. Think about it, my dear friend. Relate it to now. You know, most of our churches today have become nothing more than houses of merchandise, if you think about it. As you stand back and you look at most churches today, every worldly program under the sun is being offered, except the only program, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that should be offered in the church today, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Praising and giving honor to Him and worshiping Him, amen. We see within our churches we have different programs from so-called Christian aerobic classes to AA meetings and every self-help group imaginable. As a result, there's very little teaching and preaching of the Bible goes on in our churches today, and very little prayer and praise and worshiping of God. You know, Revelation chapter 2, Jesus admonished the church at Ephesus and said that they had lost their first love, Jesus Himself. And that's what most of our churches have done today. They have lost their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. All they've become is buildings and programs and people and men of God. I am the man of God, you know. We need to get back to our first love, amen. So we see then in our passage this morning, a past cleansing of the temple. How about the present cleansing of the temple? In our current age of grace, the church age that we're in now, when a believer believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, what I mean by that, I don't mean that they know in their head that he died at Calvary for the sins of the world and he was buried and rose again. No, what I mean by that is a person acknowledges in their heart that they're a sinner. As a result of their sin, they're going to die and go to hell. But they believe that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day to save them. And they believe on Christ for the payment of their sins and to secure a home in heaven. In the moment, the instant that that happens, the Holy Spirit of God of the Lord Jesus Christ comes in and indwells the person until the day of redemption. Amen? And what happens at that instance? There's a cleansing that goes on. Amen? At that time that the Holy Spirit enters the believer's body, it tells us that Jesus cleanses our body inside so God can dwell in us. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 tells us this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the moment, the instant a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're cleansed by the blood of Jesus from every one of their sins, past, present, and future. Amen. Looking in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 5. and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. My dear friend, there's a cleansing that goes on of your temple when you get saved. Look at in Titus chapter 3. The book of Titus with me, chapter number 3. Titus 3, verse 5. Talking about how a man is saved, a woman is saved. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hey, there's a washing that went on, amen, when you believed on Christ. Your temple was cleansed so God could reside in you and me. The Bible tells us that a person can never lose their salvation. Amen for that. But I tell you, you and I need cleansing on a daily basis because of the world that we live in. And how can a Christian do that? How can we get a daily cleansing? Well, one of the ways is by the Word of God, by this Bible that I hold in my hand, the King James Bible. Look it with me in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9, the psalmist wrote, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How does a young man, how does a man, a woman clean their ways? The answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Hey, you're daily in that word. The word of God, the Bible tells us, the word of God, the Bible says about itself that it's like a mirror. It's like a mirror. When we look in a physical mirror, we see that our face is dirty in the places that need to be cleaned up. Amen. The Bible's the same way. It's like a mirror. When we look into the mirror, the Word of God, we see how our lives are dirty and filthy and need to be cleaned up. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 26. And of course in Ephesians chapter 5, the Word of God talks about marriage between a man and a woman, how it pictures the marriage between Jesus Christ, his bride, the church. And in verse 26 we read, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. The word of God is a cleansing agent. You and I need a daily cleansing. Amen. From our wickedness and sin. And the way we can cleanse ourselves, amen, is by the Word of God. And allowing the Word of God to take control of our lives. And heed what the Word of God has to say, amen. Another way that the Christian, amen, can have a daily cleansing is by confession of sin. Did you hear me? By confession of sin. What are you saying, preacher? You calling me a sinner? No, I'm not calling you a sinner. The Word of God is calling you and I a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Look at in Psalm. Psalm chapter 51. Look at what the man that God called him, a man after his own heart, King David. Look at the words of David as inspired by the Holy Spirit in Psalm 51. Look at what David. This is one of the reasons why David, I believe, God called David a man after his own heart. Psalm 51, verse 2. The psalmist David wrote, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." See that? Daily confession of your sins. It wasn't beneath King David. He did it. That's why I believe he was called a man after God's own heart. Because he acknowledged his sins, he took responsibility, and he said, "God, I sinned against you and you alone, amen. And I take responsibility and I throw myself on your mercy. I confess my wickedness and I ask for your forgiveness." And if we do that, my dear friend, this is the promise that we have if we confess our sins. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we see then the present cleansing of the temple. Now let's turn lastly to the future. Turn back to Daniel chapter 9, and we want to look at verse 27 again. Daniel chapter 9 with me. The scriptures tell us that in the near future, the temple in Jerusalem will be rebuilt and the sacrifices and oblations will be reinstituted. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 again. "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." And of course that he is the world leader at the time, the Antichrist, the political leader of the world. He's going to confirm, he's going to make a covenant, an agreement. It's supposed to be for 7 years, amen. And then it says, "In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifices and oblations to cease." What he's going to do is, he's going to break that covenant after 3.5 years. And he's going to cause the sacrifices, amen, to cease. And the oblations to cease, because he's going to take over that temple, amen. He's going to take over that temple, as it says. "And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." What he is going to do, the Antichrist, he's going to go into the temple at Jerusalem, he's going to take it up, and he's going to set up his own image. He's going to desecrate that temple, amen. And he's going to set up his own image, and people will come and worship that image, the image of the beast. Look at it in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13 with me. Verses 13 and 14. Revelation 13 and 14. "And he doeth great wonders, so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." We see that the desecration of the temple is called in the scriptures the abomination of desolation. The abomination of desolation. Look at Matthew chapter 24. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ calls it as he prophesies of the future to come. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. The disciples had come to him and asked him when were the end times are going to be and when all this is going to happen, so forth and so on. And he says in Matthew 24, verse 15, Jesus says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." And again, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. Daniel 12, 11. Daniel 12, 11. and from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up there shall be 1,290 days. You see, the Antichrist is going to sacrifice unclean things in the temple. Look at me, look at prophetic reference to that in Isaiah chapter 66 with me. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66 in verse number 3. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. So we see that he's going to behead man in the temple and sacrifice him. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He's going to sacrifice dogs in the temple. All these things are unclean. He that offereth an oblation, if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth, so we see that they're going to kill blood instead of sacrificing, in a, you know, like a sheep or a lamb. It's going to be a pig, which is an unclean thing, and the blood's going to be poured on. The pig's blood is going to be poured on the altar. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. So we see man, dogs, and pigs will be sacrificed and offered in the temple of Jerusalem by the Antichrist. However, Jesus Christ will come a second time in the flesh, amen, to cleanse the nation of Israel and the physical, literal temple at Jerusalem. Looking in Revelation 19, we see Jesus Christ coming with his army of saints. All of those who have believed on him will be with him in his army. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Amen to that. Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and it shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. And what he's going to do is he's going to cleanse the nation of Israel also. Look in Ezekiel chapter 20, 36 with me. Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 36, verse 21, we read, Ezekiel 36, verse 21, but I have pity on my holy name, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen then shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen. I will take you, he's talking about Israel, from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Amen. We see during the Lord's thousand-year reign on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ will sit in David's throne in Jerusalem, and each nation will have to come up year to year to worship him. We're told about this in Zechariah. Let's turn there. Zechariah chapter 16. Chapter 14, verse 16, we read. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The Bible tells us that after the thousand-year reign of Christ, that Satan will be loose a little season and go against the nation of Israel, but Satan and his followers will be cast into the lake of the fire where the Antichrist and the false prophet are already waiting for him, praise God. And then we see, the Bible tells us, after the great white throne judgment of all the unsaved dead is over, the earth and heaven will be purged and cleansed by fire, and then eternity future will begin. But there'll never be a need for Jesus to cleanse the temple ever again, because there will be no need of a temple, because the Bible tells us that the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb will be the temple. There'll be no need of a temple. Revelations chapter 21, verse 22. Christian, as we close this morning, do you need cleansing for your temple by the Word of God and confession of sin? We all need a daily cleansing. Have you been coming to that fountain of blood over and over again through the Word and through confession of sin? A reason God's not using you, He cannot use a dirty vessel. Get cleansed, come into the blood of Jesus. He'll cleanse you from all your sins if you'll only confess your sins. Amen. Be in the Word of God daily, daily, to cleanse your wicked ways. If you're unsaved today, you've never trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to be cleansed today. You need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins so you can secure a home in heaven. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you get on your knees? Ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins. Believing on Him from your heart and confessing His holy name, that you believe in your heart that He died. He died for your sins. He was buried and rose again to save you. Won't you come? Christian, won't you come to the old-fashioned altar if you need a cleansing today? Unsaved person, if you've never trusted Christ, won't you come and let Him cleanse your temple right now? Let us stand for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You this morning for Your Word and the cleansing of the temple. We thank You for the past cleansing of the temple. We thank You for the present cleansing, where all of those that will believe on Christ can have their temple inside cleaned so that God can reside in them forever until the day of redemption. And after we're saved, we still need that daily cleansing. And we thank You that, dear God, You've given us Your holy, inerrant, infallible Word to read and to study and to meditate so it can cleanse us each and every day. And Father, we thank You that we're able to come to the throne room of grace to get down on our knees and confess our sins and know that You're just and faithful, that You'll forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we pray if there's a lost one that's never come to Jesus for that cleansing of their temple, that they would come right now, believing on Him and Him alone to save them. Father, we pray now as we come to our time of invitation, we pray that that Holy Spirit of God would have its will and its way in each and every one of our lives this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.